Let me give you a little advertisement while you get there and the screen comes up. Next week, we're going to be looking at a couple of wonderful things happening next week. Sunday morning, it's Reformation Sunday. And for once in a blue moon, actually much longer than a blue moon, Reformation Sunday falls on really what is Reformation Day, the 31st of October, the day that Luther hung the thesis on the door of the church, the castle church at Wittenberg. And so next week we're going to look at that and the historical significance in the Word of God. The Word of God that brought Luther to the place of freedom was mainly the book of Galatians. And Galatians is going to be the theme and the study for the convention-wide January Bible study that will happen in January. That's one of those who's buried in Grant's tomb kind of thing. And so we're going to be looking at that in January and doing some study of that, and had a wonderful time in that word this afternoon myself, studying and looking at it. So you be here next Sunday morning as we look at Reformation Sunday, and then be preparing your heart in the book of Galatians in the weeks ahead and months ahead. And then also next Sunday night is our Take It to the Street night, as we're going to take the Harvest Festival out of the gymnasium and into four communities within our city. And we need your help in that, either by, well, in fact, you can do all of these things. Go buy a big bag of candy, bring it to the church. We need that early in the week, because we're going to have some folks here loading and stuffing bags to be given out. Then we need volunteers at each of the homes where we're in each of the neighborhoods, where we're going to be sharing some games and some information about our church and giving out candy. And so we're going to need some folks to help out with that, youth, adults, RAs, GAs, everybody involved. We're going to head out to those neighborhoods next Sunday afternoon after a short time of prayer here at the church that will constitute our evening worship service. So you be involved in that and be engaged. All right. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. It is our key verse. You're going to recognize this sermon, this message, if you were here on a Sunday night back in February. And yet it is such an essential one that whether you were here or whether you were not, it is important to us. In fact, again, as I was reading the book of Galatians this afternoon, I noticed that we so often take a verse from this place and from that place and miss the entire context of it. And one of the things that Paul always does, that Jesus always does, is bring about the balance within our lives from one area to the other. And this morning we were talking about that relationship matters that hinder our prayers, and we were talking about being right with others and forgiving. Tonight we've talked about being forgiven. The other side of that, the balance of that, is forgiving. And so tonight, as I prayed about what we ought to talk about and what we ought to pray about, it was either to discuss with you what it really means to forgive on a deep personal level, and that's an important thing. We'll look at that, and we've looked at it before. But then there was a more pressing matter that is more real to most of us on a real day, and that is learning simply to overlook an offense. You know, within life, we're going to be offended if we want to be offended. It's easy to be offended, whether we're talking about our relationships with our spouses, or we're talking about the relationship with our children with us, or we're talking about people in the church, or we're talking about the pastor, or we're talking about people at work. Let me tell you, you're going to find probably something in this sermon, in this service, certainly tomorrow at work, something that if you are easily offended, you are going to be offended by. And I'm going to tell you, that is a problem in the Church of Christ, and I don't mean necessarily in First Baptist Church, but in the church as a whole. When we are easily offended, when we're easy to take offense, it puts a damper on everything, including the kingdom of God and what God's trying to do. And certainly as part of this relationship issue that we talked about between husband and wife last week for a short part of the sermon, as we talked about among Christian believers as a whole, as the gist of the sermon this morning, and as we're talking about tonight, on an individual, personal level, there is nothing that you can determined to do in your life more than heed Proverbs 19:11 and learn not to be easily offended. Proverbs 19:11 says this. I'm going to open my Bible as I've asked you to do. Proverbs 19:11 says this, "A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression." Man, easier said than done. As we looked at last fall in the Healthy Church, and we read the book about being a peacemaker. By the way, if you've not read that book, done that study, let me encourage you to do it. I can't think of anything to be better for your marriage, better for your family, better for our church, better for your life than to do that. And in that study, there is a pictorial representation of something they call the slippery slope. And it's a true thing. You probably remember it if you have one of those brochures, if you did the study, if you have the student guide, you've certainly seen this. We're not going to take time to really go through it except to say this, that it becomes the nature of men and women not to be healthy in their relationships. They tend, rather than to walk on the plane at the top of this representation of a slippery slope, to slide down one side of the other. And on one side of this slippery slope, it's hard for me to say that, on the left side of that ends up being escape responses. And I'm not going to go into all of those. We can look at them. It says there's denial, there's flight, and there's suicide. But I just simply point to the reality that when most of us find ourselves dealing with something that we perceive to be conflict within our lives, I would say the vast majority of people take the escape route. They ignore it. They deny it. They leave it behind, so they think, but never actually do. And they began to just pattern this relationship to their children, to people around them, to their church, that what you do is you just ignore it. Now, I've got to tell you, we ought to learn from the physical side of life how to apply some things to the physical side. If you have some issue within your physical health and you deny it, or you ignore it, what is likely to happen to it? It's going to get better or it's going to get worse. Gonna get worse, isn't it? And in relationships, when we develop this skill of denial and escape, rather than dealing with it, within our own soul and our own heart, when we pass it down in marital relationship to our children, we are doing one of the worst things we can do. When we try to flee it every time there's some issue between ourselves and another person, man, not only are we sacrificing wonderful, beautiful friendships and brotherhoods and sisterhoods, but we are in danger of causing real harm to ourselves, to our families, to the body of Christ. The other side of that slippery slope that I can't speak is the attack response, and that is that I'm going to assault, or in this study they said litigate or even murder, and that might be as simple as hating somebody in my heart, holding a grudge, and that's one of the things too. Now, the top of this is the place God would have us to be, which is negotiate and reconciliation. But one of the keys to that is that as I grow in my relationship to Christ, there really should be less and less and less things that I have to negotiate, that I have to reconcile, that I have to arbitrate with somebody else because of me being angry. Because what I'm learning to do is to forgive. Not merely to gain from somebody else the request to forgive, but I'm just going to forgive. I'm going to do what the proverb says. I'm going to overlook it. I'm going to overlook it. Now, way back in February when we looked at this, we entitled this essence of what we're going to do from now on, learning to be duck back Christians. You probably remember it. It is a good characteristic that we need to see. A duck back Christian. You know what I mean by that. It's like, I always heard it like this. It's like water on a duck's back. And by that, we mean, you've seen those ducks. They go swimming. They duck under the water. You hear that? They duck under the water. And they come back up and they do, you know what they do? They do, they take their wings and they do like this and they go. And when they do that with their little beaks, and if you listen really careful, you can hear that. And the water just sheds right off. And it's like they were never, ever wet. Characteristics of a duckback Christian. Let's talk about them. There are four of them I want you to look at. One, they shed water. That is, they are hard to offend. And our passage of Scripture is the passage we just looked at, but also, the passage we just looked at. Let's look at that. It simply says, man, when you begin to overlook the offense of another, you're being what God wants you to be. Now, I'm going to tell you, let me get real here. A lot of times, it's not only biblical to overlook it, it's really intelligent. Because when you come back and look at it again later, they may not have been the ones who were offensive. Have you ever done that? Have you ever paused and the Holy Spirit maybe got hold of you, and maybe it's a week later, maybe it's a month later, maybe it's a year later, and you look back at the situation in which you thought you should have been offended or you were offended, and you realize, wow, I was the one being offensive there. If I really look deeply in my heart, really think about it deeply, it was me. Or I may have perceived it different. It might be because I was tired. It might be because I was overly sensitive. All kinds of other reasons. I'm just going to tell you, not only is it spiritual, it's just real and practical to develop a sense of, that's not going to be something that I'm going to carry around with me. I'm going to shed that like water off a duck's back. Secondly, don't collect water. Don't collect water. I have never, ever seen a duck with a bucket. Have you? Not one time in my life have I ever seen a duck with a bucket. I don't even think I've seen Daffy Duck with a bucket. So I want you to look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know the chapter, it's the chapter of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about love. What we've said, the great commandments are love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5. Well, verse 4 says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love does not brag, love is not arrogant. Verse 5, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked. That's all what we said in sheds water. And then says, does not take into account a wrong suffered. The word account there really means to account. It is an accounting term. It means I don't keep a ledger. It does not mean I'm going to forgive you, but I'm writing it down so I can look it up again. When it's convenient, I can bring it up again. But I forgive you. And I love you. To which God says, ducks back. Does not collect water. All right. Number three. Not only does he not collect water in that bucket, he doesn't carry water. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians, you're in 1 Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 20. For I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you not to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish, that perhaps there will be strife and jealousy and anger and tempers and disputes and slanders and gossip and arrogance and disturbances. I want you to know, when you find statements like that in the Scripture, there's a catalog of statements like that here. There's a catalog of statements like that in Ephesians 5, where it said the deeds of the flesh are, and it lists all of these things, and sometimes it lists murder and adultery and thievery. You know what's right in there with them? Gossip. Slander, carrying tales. And the characteristics of a duckback Christian, somebody who's who is not easily offended, in fact is hard to offend, is that not only do you not offend them easily, that is, not only are you not offended easily, you don't keep a record of it, and you certainly don't carry it around and tell everybody, so, this would be cute, so-and-so did this to me, but I wasn't offended by it. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Man. So you don't carry it as a tale. Fourthly, now I like this. Have you ever seen a duck in the pond, does the dip, does the, then what do they do? What do they do next? A lot of times, if you watch, they'll stand up and they'll spread their wings like this. Do I look like a duck? No. Some of the guys back there are looking at me and laughing at me like I look like a duck. If you want to be a duckback Christian, you got to sun regularly. And what I mean by that, well, look it with me at Philippians chapter 4. You're in 2 Corinthians, just three books over, Galatians, Ephesians, well, four books over, Colossians, Philippians, somewhere in there between Ephesians and Colossians. 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell upon these things. So duckback Christian not only sheds water, doesn't collect water, that is, doesn't carry records of debt that are owed to him or her, doesn't carry gossip, so-and-so did this to me, did you hear what happened, but also begins to look for ways to just focus on that which is right and good and godly, even about people. Even about those who you once might have taken offense at easily. So finally, brother, whatever is true. I mean, come to the end. Let me say to you, Paul is saying to us, think about the things that are true. Now, in that, he's not talking about truth versus falsehood so much as he is the things that are true in the sense of honorable, that are right, that are pure, that are lovely. Let those things dwell in your mind. If somebody who knows you well was to mark you as a person, would they say you are a positive person or a negative person? That's the vernacular we use today, the way we say it today. Or would they say they're positive, you're a negative person? Or you're negative about being positive? How would they describe you? Well, Paul is saying, when it comes to my relationship with other people and what I think of other people and what I think about situations, I'm going to look at the positive side of it. You know, the whole thing is to transform us from honking gooses to quacking ducks. I don't know, any of you ever been chased by a goose? Gooses are mean. Geese are mean. They will come at you, they will quack at you and bite you. Generally, well, never mind. They will bite you. How do you do that with yourself? Because that's really what we're talking about with ourselves. One, you focus on God's grace in your life. Focus on God's grace in your life. That is, because God loved me so much and forgives me and overlooks my sin and is easy to be restored. We quoted the verses a little earlier, and most of you know it by heart. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. After we have paid our tithes, beat ourselves on the back, and spent 2 weeks acting very remorseful. Is that what it says? It's not what it says, is it? Man, He's easy to forgive and to restore, and therefore we want to be easy to appropriate forgiveness, hard to take offense, and in that way, focus on God's grace in our own lives. Now, secondly, we want to focus on God's glory through my life. And that is, I want to be hard to cause offense. Remember the balance? I want to be sensitive. I want to be as insensitive as possible to the fact that somebody might be offending me, even when they might be trying. I want to be insensitive to that. But on the other side, I want to be exceedingly sensitive about how I come across to another. Did I offend? Am I inconsiderate? And therefore, quick to ask forgiveness. And really forgiveness. I'm sorry. By doing what I did, by saying what I said, I offended you. I'm sorry. Man, that brings glory to God. Philippians, you're there in Philippians. Look at chapter 1, verse 20. Paul writes, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, that with all boldness Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. We talked this morning and we've talked before about the highest priority of a believer is to glorify God in everything we say in any given situation. This morning we talked about the fact that when it comes to conflict resolution, when it comes to something that feels like conflict to us, Christians, believers, well, it doesn't matter whether you're in high school or middle school or junior high or you're the most senior saint in this building, our response is supposed to be different, remarkably different from the way the world deals with things. And the real remarkable thing of it is that I'm supposed to be, because of what Christ has done for me and the way Christ has dealt with me and the way Jesus has forgiven me and the way He paid for my sin, I'm supposed to be hard to offend. And in every situation, even if it is to my own hurt, my response is not to be, how do I get my way? How do I get my point across? It's not to be those things. But rather, how do I in this present moment find that I personally, with my own life, my own attitude, personally glorify God in this situation? If it looks like a duck and walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, you're probably going to be a duck. And that's our goal tonight, is that we be a duck. And the reason is, there are a lot of reasons, but James says, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. God has called every one of us to be a peacemaker, to be a peace generator. But it's not just for the church. It's not just for the kingdom. I love the passage of Scripture. If you don't know it already, that I love it, you probably will know it tonight. You probably know it from my sheer quoting it. There are verses that I just can't help but quote. And John 10, what's the verse? John 10. Yeah, that's what I said. John 10:10. The thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and that you might live it to the full. It's translated different ways, the inverse, but it is life upon life. It's life to the full. It's life exceedingly great. Man, that's why Jesus came. That's what He wants in your life. And I'm going to tell you, until you learn to be hard to offend like a duck with water on its back, you're not going to be that way. But when you do, and when you're easy to forgive and easy to overlook in your relationship with others, when you don't take offense easily, you're going to be a happier Christian. I got to tell you, you're going to walk happier because you're not going to walk around going, well, somebody hurt me and this happened to me and why did that happen and why is everybody got? It's not going to be that way anymore. People are going to come up to you and they're going to say, man, I need to apologize for what happened last week. And your response is no longer going to be, it's about time. It's going to be, what'd you do? Because you're not going to remember. And oh, what a joy. I'm going to ask you, who's going to be happier during that week? The person who is sitting around waiting for that apology, or the person who doesn't remember and walks for 7 days not knowing they've been offended? Who's going to be happier? Person who walks for 7 days and doesn't even know they've been offended, right? You're going to be holier because God called us to this. And it is a model of what Jesus has done for us. Wow. And you're going to be healthier. In fact, the whole church will be healthier the more believers the church of God has who learn to be duckback Christians. So, hindered prayers? Yeah, when my relationships aren't right, my prayers are hindered. This morning was scene two. This evening, Act 2. As we deal with this concept, understand God is not easily offended, and He's quick to forgive, and He simply calls you to be His son or His daughter who looks and acts like Him. Bow with me as we pray. Father, I thank you for your grace and goodness in my life. Personally, Lord, I am so thankful that you forgive me easily. And I'm thankful for those people around me, Father, who are not easily offended. And I pray, dear Father, that you would build in me, as I've asked in others, a stronger barrier against offense. And let it be based in my life not upon pride, in our lives not upon pride, as if now I am a hard to offend, holier than thou Christian, but upon humility, in which I recognize how much you have overlooked and covered by the blood of Christ. And if you have done that for me, surely that is the attitude I am to have to others. For you have said, even when we pray, that we should pray in such a way that we say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Let it be so, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Let's stand together.